Kane's Fishing and Hunting Show on the all-new Kane 107.5. Hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Good morning and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Tony.
Anyway, for our weekly hunting and fishing show, and welcome to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240. And as always, the purpose of the show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And each Friday, Rick, these are the fine people that are the reason we're here.
You're right, Tony. Got to thank our sponsors, Alamo Hydraulics, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Home Run Pizza, and Raging Cajun Seasonings and Foods.
And if you'd like to give us a call, of course, the number is 337-367-1240. And you can listen to us online at www.kane1240.com anywhere in the world. And if you have an Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane 1240. You can pick up the show on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios of Kane Radio at 107 West Main Street next to Victor's Cafeteria in downtown New Iberia, which is open. And Rick, freshwater, saltwater fishing, what you getting?
Tony, I don't know much about saltwater. Maybe you heard a little bit, but freshwater's been clicking right along. Had that little front came in, it might have knocked them back a little bit. We went last Sunday. We had a good trip, and I heard they've been catching a few sockeye, and the bass have turned on in the lake. Now, this weekend, the basin's going to be down. We'll talk about that later, and it's supposed to pop back up. I'm going to try to make a trip to Sherrington. But we've been doing good, Tony, on flukes and sinkos is what we've been catching on.
All right, and with that, we'll have a little bit about some of the salt water later on in the broadcast. But in the meantime, Rick, with the water situation, as you mentioned, right as of this morning, we're right at about not quite 9 feet.
Right.
As of 6 o'clock this morning at Butte La Rose. So, and then, as you mentioned, going to drop down in the next coming days and flatten out a little bit around 8 foot.
Right. Perfect.
Then, then come a little bit after April 12th, starting to rise again, getting back up to over 11 feet.
Next week, Tony, is projected to go, upwards as much as 12 feet. And from, 4 feet, that's a lot of water. And I'm going to try to make a trip, so it may be a while before the old basin will be fishable again.
Yeah, and with that, as you're a big proponent of as the lake or the basin moves up and down substantially, it creates some difficulties.
Right. Yes, it does. Yeah, rising water has always been tough, Tony.
Anyway, with that, Rick, too, with that, the big bass showed up. It might not be over, but your thoughts with regards to the big bass and over the days. I remember the old beachcomber. I don't know if you can remember the old beachcomber in WAFB.
That's right.
Over in Baton Rouge. Well, the old beachcomber had used to he'd hail the springtime speckled trout catches with news arriving via his trout telegram. I can remember him.
Yep.
The old beachcomber talking about that with that Bob Scarce. And, with emails and social media replacing everything today, and you can find out a lot of things. People like to brag and shoot off their mouth of what's going on in the fishing world. And coastal fishermen, they've from what I'm seeing and hearing, I saw an article, 20-plus inch speckled trout, they're catching. And, of course, we have new rules on the speckled trouts too, Rick.
Right.
With that, and the limit's now 15, and we have a slot limit, 13 to I think, is it 18, 20
eight,
inches?
20, I think 18, it's 18. 18, you keep one, is it one over 20?
Yeah, I think it is now, two over 20.
Two over 20.
Yeah, or longer. But anyway, with that, also further north this couple weeks ago, and I think you were up there, you mentioned all the boats you saw up there. Up in Candy Lake.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful little lake, Tony. But that little lake gets a lot of pressure.
Well, the Louisiana High School North Division event was out there in Candy Lake that weekend.
Okay.
And Sam Houston High's Carson Dardo and Camion Gillard weighed in at 8.3-pounder and took more than a 7-pounder to make the top three in the big bass listing slow. Also at Toledo Bend recently in a Major League Fishing, the Toyota Southwest Division, Florence Tater Reynolds anchored a 3-day, 15 bass, 83 pounds, Ricky.
Yeah.
With 15 bass, 4 ounces, a first place finisher up there in that major league tournament. And put the pencil of that one. That's better than 5.5 pounds for fish,
yep.
Ricky.
Oh yeah.
That's
well,
amazing.
That's why Toledo Bend's top notch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A 9.7 was the tournament's heaviest bass too. Reynolds said he concentrated on the post spawn areas in the 10 to 15 feet of water, and you've mentioned that numerous times too.
Right.
With that and using crankbaits and
yep.
For that course last weekend, if you hit the area up in Toledo Bend, it was pretty interesting in that regard. Also, in some other wrap-ups up there, too, with that, too. Rick, maybe you can explain maybe a little bit to me the post, what the term post-spawn goes by.
Well, that's usually when after they spawn, Tony, they stage going out just like they stage coming in. And either or, if you hit them coming in or going out, pre or post, I mean, you can do very well. So apparently that's what these guys have done. And, I mean, you know, after those fish spawn, they're going to head back out to, like you said, 10 or 15 feet of water. They'll spawn anywhere. They'll spawn in that, but they like to get shallow as they can.
Okay.
But if you hit those sweet spots, yeah, you can rack up, and that's what they've done.
Okay, with that. So I learned a little bit myself about that. So
yeah.
With that, anyway, the biggest news from Louisiana coming out of last weekend's Bassmaster Classic is Bossier Parish High School team of Carson and Adcock and Chase White won the High School Classic held on Keystone Lake in Oklahoma. Their 5-bass limit weighed 19 pounds, 12 ounces, so hats off to them. Alabama's Justin Hammer went wire to wire to win the $300,000 first-place prize in the Classic held on Grand Lake Old Cherokee near Tulsa, Oklahoma. His 3-day, 15-bass total of 58 and 3 ounces. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tyler Rivette of Raceland finished 43rd. Gonzalez's Greg Hackney, 49th. Montevello's Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge won the College Classic on Keystone with a 22-pound catch. Anyway, on that, Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, they usually meet on the first Thursday of the month, a departure from its usual meeting. They're going to meet again April 9th. In Baton Rouge, and also the LSU. I didn't know LSU had a bass fishing team.
I didn't either, Tony.
And they have set their 7th annual tournament for April the 13th, and Southeastern team will hold its inaugural benefit May 4th, both at headquartered at Dwyer's Landing in Stevensville.
Yes, sir.
So if you'd like to get involved in the LSU bass fishing meet over in Stevensville for that April 13th, which is next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, and Southeastern's May 4th. So anyway, so this interesting. Anybody heading to Florida, and I realize, you know, a lot of people maybe on the break might have headed down there for Easter, but the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission in Florida has set free fishing days for April 6th and 7th, which is tomorrow and Sunday,
yes,
for all resident and non-resident anglers. You know, something we do each year, I think in June, Rick.
Yeah, yeah, that's
We have that type of, I want to say, free fishing where
free
you
fishing
can fish
weekend.
Without the game warden.
That's right.
But you still have to maintain the limits and things of that nature. You know, you can't, yeah, you can fish free.
Right.
But without a license, but you have to maintain the limits in the stock and the
yep.
slot sizes and
yeah,
all that comes
right.
into play.
Yep. Limits
so
and
with
sizes.
That.
Yep.
Anyway, with that, Henderson Lake, Rick, don't know if you've been out there lately.
It's been a while, Tony. But just like with the basin, the water is right. You know, this weekend it should be good.
Anyway, with that, of course, the Sockeye fishing out there in Henderson Lake, you know, going into March and following all the deep freezes we had in late January, the spawn may be a little bit better, they think, than usual. And there's also the drawdown. You know, remember they drove down Henderson Lake. They put it off a couple months, and then they finally went at it.
For the aquatic, yeah.
That's right, that's right. And they say here Sockeye like to spawn in 55-degree water or higher.
Usually that's your first fish to spawn, Tony.
Okay, yep. With that, so... anyway, a lot of people hoping for a late spawn out there on Henderson Lake. And also just learning a couple of things. Two favorite spots this month are Phillips Canal and the two barrel pits along the west of Cheffalaya Basin.
Right.
The protection levee, Kearns Pit and George Dupuis Pit. The pit's water will be warmer on the levee side where it's shallower. And, you know, we've had some beautiful weather too, Rick.
Oh, yeah.
In the last few days here with the sun shining and all. So, Warmer water can also be found on the top of the mountains in Phillips Canal. So the boulevard, try and either those spots. However, there's usually a dip, a hair, or a tube jig that on the boulevard in front of the private landing. So a lot of opportunities out there, Rick, as we all know with that. But I guess the big news coming up on us in the next, course, 10 days is the jump on the Red Snapper.
Right.
Which take place, the state allows for April 15th. And it's the earliest opening I can recall in many, many years.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, with that. So if you want to start chasing your Red Snapper, of course, last year, Louisiana Snapper season began on May 26th. But this year, the private recreational Red Snapper season begins on April 15th, both in state and federal waters. The season will run 7 days a week. That's right, 7 days a week beginning April 15th until Louisiana reaches its 934,587-pound quota. You ask, well, the change was in order to maximize opportunity for anglers to fully utilize our quota, explained Jason Adrians, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Fin Fish Program Manager. He said this is the earliest that the Red Snapper season has opened since 2018. The 2024 quota is the same as the 2023 quota, which we did not meet the quota in 2023, which left 56,123 pounds unharvested.
Right.
So that's a lot of red snapper there, Rick, with that.
Yeah.
And so you people out there, April and May are much better months to fish for red snapper than June or July because the snapper are closer and much bigger, said one offshore captain. In April, we catch bigger snapper in 30 to 40 feet of water. They are closer because the water is a little cooler and the bait is there as well. And during April and May, windy conditions can churn the Gulf waters. But anglers usually don't need to run as far as offshore to find fish with high-tech sonar units today. I don't know if that's fair fishing.
Yeah.
You know, with that, you see the fish in the water and you just cast to them.
You actually see your bait.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, he's coming up to it. Oh, yeah.
That's right. You know, just hope that the fish is hungry or maybe mad or angry in spawning season for that matter. So most often snapper will be pretty close to the bottom, and at times they'll be changing at different depths, not much always on structures. In April, we catch them on the sand flats. It was told everybody can see rigs from miles away, and everyone fishes them. But with electronics, we may find many spots to catch snapper that few know exist. So with that, Rick, and as we all know, it's pretty interesting with that, how all that's going to run, too, with that. Anyway, just a little bit, Rick, maybe educate me, maybe our listeners, a little bit more about people who want to get in a lot on the action finding bedding brim, and finding brim bed, is they say, is like hitting a jackpot. Maybe you can educate us a little bit about that. What's a good bait or lure or whatever to use during the brim season?
Tony, it's coming up for me, like I was telling you, Memorial Day. That's usually what, around the middle, the end of May?
Yeah, the end of May. That's usually Monday and May.
That's right. We usually start fishing the brim. They'll bed up in the lake. And, you know, some people like crickets. I'm not really a big fan of crickets. Not saying it's a bad bait, but I'd rather use my my worms. It's, you know, either red worms or a big cold worm, they call them, or a red wiggler. That's but I'm just a better, you know, to me. And you catch more than one fish, you know, on a cricket, you're going to be 8 out of 10 once and done.
Right.
Yeah. But usually around, you know, they'll start bedding up, Tony, like I said, around Memorial Day. And then, you know, you just get around shallow water. The bar pits are good. There's a bunch of places that are good in the lake. You know, they won't be in your deep areas because naturally they're trying to spawn. But, you know, the shallower waters, and you can catch them.
And with that, you know, a brim basically is about the size of your hand.
Some of them, yeah.
They'll get a little bigger?
Well, they'll get, you know, I have to take some of them and put them down on the boat to take the hook out.
Okay,
right. They're big brim. It's a lot of, you know, that time of year, the bull brim, we call them, they're orange-breasted, with they'll start spawning, like I said, around the middle of May.
All right, and with that, of course, with the brim fishing around here, why don't you educate our listeners? What couple of good spots maybe you can
well, like
down?
I said, the bar pits, just look for your shallow banks. You know, the way they dug them, they're real deep in the middle. and it'll be shallow along the edges. Now, we just talked about Henderson.
Yes.
We call it the mounds in Henderson.
All right.
And when you pass over I-10, all those little islands that you see out there are excellent spots for brim.
Okay.
Yep.
And how about if someone would go out of Marshfield or Lake Forest Point?
Well, like I said, the bar pits, okay. You got over by the campgrounds, there's we call it Twin Ponds. That's a good, excellent area. There's shallow water in the back of Twin Ponds, and you go further down all the way. If you follow, we call it the Bar Pit Canal, you go all the way down to the Big Bar Pit. There's some islands, some stump fields down there, and that's good brim fishing.
All right.
Like I said, usually towards the middle to the end of May, Tony, they'll start spawning.
Okay. Yeah. With that, too, of course, with the brim fishing, as I mentioned, you know, size of your hand a little bigger than your hand.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
A 2-3 pound brim, pretty good size fish.
Well, it's a little less, 2 pounds is a real big brim.
Okay.
But, the size of your hand is some good eating brim, good keeping brim. Last year we caught a bunch. And, like I said, it's coming up, and you get on a brim bed like you just stated. You know, it's you can have a good time fishing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, is there any limit to catching a brim?
Tony, I'm not sure. I think it's 100 a man. I might be wrong on that. I'm not sure, but you said,
you could fish for a while.
Go on, yeah.
And cleaning them and eating them, pretty good fish to.
But you can get the booklet or go online and make sure.
Okay.
I don't want to say that's
basically
right.
Basically, we're not sure either
no,
one
I'm
of
not
us
sure.
What the
right.
allowance is for brim fishing, which you could have allowance because for years, you could catch as many as you want.
And then not only that, different lakes are different.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
So you want to make sure, you know.
In different areas.
Toledo Bend might not have a limit. Now, you may go to Caney, they may have a limit. You just got to, make sure. Don't get caught, Yep.
Yeah, that you're right about that too.
Oh, yeah. How y'all doing today?
I can hear the
you're doing okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was. Can I see your chest?
That's right.
You mind if I see your chest?
Yeah, that's right.
You wonder if anybody might want to tell him. Yeah, did you get a warrant? Anyway, but with that, that's some of the worst words you can hear. How things going today for y'all, man? Y'all catching any?
And bro, when you least expect it, they're
sick. That's right. They're taught many the ins and outs in that regard.
And Tony, how many times we fish tournaments? Okay, like I said, Highway 90 down there by Clico, it splits the saltwater and the freshwater side.
That's right.
How many times I come around that curve, and they're sitting there in that big white boat? It's like but it's just, but when you least expect it, they're there. They're doing their job, and that's a good thing.
I'm not denying that.
Right.
And a lot of, there for a lot of safety reasons, in that regard.
Like I said, you're cruising, and they're sitting right there. Hey, come see,
The only time I ever got into trouble in that regard was I was coming by, and the old warden points to me.
I know you're talking about. Yep.
And he goes, you're lucky. I said, why am I lucky? He said, because I ran out of tickets.
Yeah. Tony, he checked me the day before, and I'm in the same spot the next day, and he checked me again.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
I got to do my job, Watkins. I said, okay.
With me, this was about, about 25, 30 years ago with me in that instance.
I think he's since
retired in my estimation.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, time to take our first break here on Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
Everyone loves pizza, and everyone loves a home run. Put them together, and you have Home Run Pizza. And yes, right here in New Iberia, located at 3816 East Old Spanish Trail, it's New Iberia's newest takeout pizza, and delivery is available. Dough is made fresh each day, and you get an assortment of toppings. Try the Grand Slam, the Double Play, or Mr. Meaty. They're all home runs at Home Run Pizza. 256-5783. That's 256-5783.
Discover Ragin' Cajun, the original Cajun seasoning, and Ragin' Cajun Foods' delicious lines of seasoned red beans, white beans, black-eyed peas, sweet jalapeno relish, Ragin' Cajun roux, rice dressing, gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee, shrimp and grits, seafood bisque, and the new Ragin' Cajun stovetop shrimp boil, gator rub, and sizzling steak seasoning. Ragin' Cajun, the original recipes have been handcrafted here in Acadiana since 1985. Folks, ask them for that Ragin' Cajun. Save bomb!
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511. License number 6286.
I love doing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience. Where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show with that. And also, getting to a little hunting news here.
Yep.
Of course, turkey season, hunting season in Louisiana is on. And with that, Area A, April 6th, tomorrow to May 5th. Area B, April 6th to the 28th. And Area C is April 6th to the 21st. Youth and physically challenged to hunt. They're already out there with that, with wheelchair confined physically challenged hunters in areas A, B, and C on private lands with that. So it's going to be an interesting season with that. The bag limits for turkey hunting in Louisiana during the 2024 season are as follows. In Area A, you can harvest one gobbler per day and have a total of two gobblers for the entire season. Area B, the bag limit is also one gobbler per day with two gobblers allowed for the entire season. Area C, similar to A and B, you can take one gobbler per day and the total limit for the season is two. With that, so in other areas, private areas, 1, 4, 5, 6, and 9, the bag limit is 1. Area 2, in the private areas, you can take one gobbler per day, but two gobblers allowed for the season. And pretty much follows that throughout the year. But turkey season during the youth hunt in zones 1 and 2, bag limit, one gobbler. Please check the regulations for specific details. With that, and during the regular season in Zone 1, the bag limit, one gobbler. Season runs through April the 15th. In Zone 2, you can harvest one gobbler per day. Season extends from April 15th to May 5th. So with that, and, you know, Rick, did a lot of people to go turkey hunting, too.
Yeah, more than you think.
And that's right.
I want to say, hey, good luck, because that's one smart cookie.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and their flight is always strange, too.
Yep.
They don't just, like ducks, hit kind of like a straight area. Right. They'll move and jaunt. Yeah. And
it's hard to believe a bird that big, Tony, that they roost at, you know,
that's
at night.
That's right.
They don't stay on the ground. They roost in
that
trees.
That is correct.
Yeah, you know, That's amazing. That's a big bird, though.
It is a big bird, too, especially those toms. Maybe you get the length of those beards, too, with that. Something to see, too, with turkeys. But as we know, for Thanksgiving, just good eating birds.
Yes,
so with
yep.
that.
That's right.
Anyway, also want to let our listeners know about the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries on nuisance wildlife.
Okay.
You know, you got a bear, you got an alligator, whether it be a beehive, a queen bee has decided to land in your yard or in a tree and build their nest and all. But the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries does not remove nuisance wildlife.
You know, we talked about that. I'm sorry for cutting you off a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
You make a phone call.
That's
and then
right.
They'll set you up with a
with someone that does that type of work, whether it be depending on the varmint that's whether it be an armadillo or armadillos or raccoons,
yes,
a bear,
alligator
moving in, even snakes for that matter.
Oh,
you know, poisonous snakes with that and. What they do, the nuisance wildlife control operators, they provide services for the for a fee, mind you, too.
Yep.
They're going to hit you with a fee. They're not coming out to tell you hello and pick up the animal.
That's right.
Or whether it be a coyote. How about an injured coyote? Or just there are all types of nuisances with that. And, of course, the nuisance wildlife control operators are permitted to handle most of the species except deer, bears, migratory birds, alligators. So you just need to be careful when you call in. And, you know, we have issues occasionally with alligators, bears for that matter. But yep. Most of the predatory animals, coyotes, whether it be raccoons, you can almost, especially a coyote, I think you can chase away.
Yep.
They don't usually get involved. But if you got a small animal,
right.
You know, a dog or a pet, a cat, a coyote could give you some issues.
And believe it or not, Tony, we had spoke to one of our neighbors in the country. We had a big male bobcat. Now, his chickens are all, I'm talking about, he's got some nice fencing areas, okay?
Uh-huh.
That sucker still managed to get into the fenced-in area and kill a bunch of his prized chickens.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm telling
you. Well, he was upset. But,
they can climb those fences.
This sucker climbed a tree and jumped over and got in between the roof and the fence. Yeah.
Oh, they think. They're bright animals.
Yeah. But he finally got him. He had to stay up like 2 o'clock one morning, but he finally got him.
Last time I saw a big bobcat like that, it was during the daylight.
Yeah.
And we were out there near Jefferson Island at our buddy's camp, and there was a big bobcat, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was probably a good 100 yards from us.
Right.
But just walking across, you know.
Minding his business.
That's right. You know, and stopped, looked at us for a little while. There were about eight of us. It might have been eyeing us up for a meal. Yeah. But pretty good-sized bobcat stood up.
They get
22 inches at the shoulder,
you know. That's right. They get big.
And moving around. But getting back to the nuisance animals with that, in addition to the Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries licenses nuisance alligator hunters across the state to capture nuisance alligators and minimize conflicts between alligators and humans. And if you're experiencing problems with a nuisance alligator, contact the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries for the nuisance alligator page. You could probably even pull that up with that. And some of the calling a professional is not always necessary. You can prevent or resolve a lot of those issues with nuisance wildlife on your own. Make sure there's no food for wildlife available around your home. Also, eliminate areas that can possibly be used by wildlife as a shelter. Likewise, live trap the animal and release it and take some of the nuisance animals that is permitted. So with that, just let people know there are opportunities out there where you can get rid of some of those animals. And a lot of times people leave their food out, you know, feeding their dogs or cats or whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Those animals looking for food, you know, so be wise to keep some of that in place.
Yes.
Anyway, fishing and shrimping, speckled trout, the new regulations, you know, as we mentioned earlier, in effect 15 per day, measuring 13 to 20 inches, with two trout more than 20 inches allowed in a catch. Open recreational seasons, southern flounder, gray triggerfish, lane, blackfin, and queen and silk snappers, and winchman, among other snapper species. All groups of groupers except closed for gag, red, Goliath, and Nassau groupers in state federal waters. Closed seasons are recreational red snapper, which open on the 15th, though. I'm sure it's going to be at midnight of the 15th, meaning from the 14th to the 15th.
Yep.
Recreational commercial greater amberjack, gag, red, and Goliath Nassau grouper in state and federal waters and federal for hire red snapper permit holders. So with that, a lot going on in that area, too, Rick.
Yep.
Anyway, in the meantime, too, Rick, saw this, and it brought back some childhood memories, too. Up in North Louisiana, some hunters killed a rare squirrel, and a couple hunters in Louisiana bagged a very rare squirrel, and some on social media have mixed feelings about it. I would, too. The hunters posed with a white squirrel that they recently harvested at Davis Island in Tensaw Parish. The albino squirrel was shot by the hunters in North Louisiana, and this isn't something you see every time you walk out of the woods. And however, I admit, when I was getting to doing a little hunting and all, I've never seen one, but the city park here in New Iberia as a youth had one. And I never forget, you'd see him every once in a while. And with that, and people would come by to look for that squirrel.
Yep.
And, of course, I'm sure over the years I'm sure passed away. That's been many, many years ago. I don't know what the lifetime average of a squirrel is.
I don't know.
6-7 years, maybe,
yeah, maybe.
Possibly.
Yes, sir.
With that. But and it's not every day you see an albino squirrel.
Oh, no.
With that.
Yep.
That's why the hunter selected to shoot this very rare color. And I do ask, would you happen to pull the trigger when you saw a squirrel in a tree like this? I don't know. It'd be kind of hard. I'd be more interested in taking pictures of it than shooting it,
right?
You know, in that regard. But anyway, it's just something I've saw as a youth in the city park way back when. So,
yes, sir.
Just that time of the year. So with that, anyway, tides for today, Friday the 5th of April. The sun rose in Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, at 6:51. Sunset will be at 7:29. In the high and light, low tide chart, we can see the first low tide is happening right now, 7:42 a.m.
All right.
The next low tide is at 8:06. The only high tide of the day will be at 3:15 this afternoon. Tomorrow, Saturday, the 6th of April, the sun's going to rise in Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, at 6:50. The sunset will be at 7:30. In the high and low tide chart, we'll see that the first high tide Saturday morning will be at 1:38 a.m., the next high tide at 3:26 p.m. The first low tide will be at 8:43 a.m. Saturday morning, and the next low tide at 8:45 p.m. Sunday, the 7th of April, the sun's going to rise at 6:49. Sunset will be at 7:31. In the high and low tide chart, we can see that the first high Sunday morning will be at 3:06 a.m., the next high tide at 3:38 p.m. The first low tide of the day on Sunday, the 7th, will be at 9:41, and the next low tide will be at 9:29 p.m. Sunday night. The average water temperature in Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, a brisk 64 degrees.
64,
and, you know,
yeah,
we've had a little cool temperatures here in the morning when you wake up.
Yes,
that's going to go on maybe for a day or two more, but with
it.
That, you're right. Anyway, Rick, each Friday, these are the people that are the reason we're here.
You're right, Tony. We got to thank Alamo Hydraulics, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Home Run Pizza, and Raging Cajun Seasonings and Foods.
And our motto is always, Rick,
kids that hunt and fish, don't steal and deal.